You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are pleased now to spend some time in Seattle with Channel 4 sports director Mike Ferrari of KOMO-TV. Mike, I hope you had a good weekend. I'm sure it was busy, which we haven't been able to say that for quite a while, right?
Yeah, you know, lots of sports, and it's nice to talk to you in the summer on a nice summer evening. We finally get some heat in the Pacific Northwest. I'm sitting outside.
Nice.
And, and you know what? Just hearing you talk about the weekend of sports and everything, it was nice on Friday to sit there and get ready to do a sports cast and put together some Mariners highlights.
Some highlights.
They lost, but it was nice to just do what we do, right? So
yeah.
It seems like it's been forever. So, and then the Jamal Adams deal on Saturday, that was kind of nuts, but not surprised, because John Schneider and Pete Carroll have a knack for just pulling off things, doing things unconventionally, of which we've talked about so many times on your show before. You know, a lot of people trust in Pete and John, and I think that's the, you know, kind of feel on this trade as well, and they got a proven player.
How much did they need a Jamal Adams in their secondary?
Well, you know, I think so much had gone away from the Legion of Boom when Cam Chancellor had to retire, Earl Thomas left, Richard Sherman, now a 49er, and that was kind of their calling card, and a lot had kind of been turned towards the offense. And they didn't have that guy, that thumper, that Cam Chancellor was. And, you know, when Cam's career ended that night in Arizona, they had a huge void, not just in athleticism and leadership, but just in what he did to opponents, that little kind of, you know, footstep they'd hear in the back of their head and when they're going across the middle. And as the passing game has increased and the offenses have really turned things up in the division, they knew that they had to get that thumper again. And so they were willing to give up a lot. I mean, a lot to get Jamal Adams. And when they got Quandre Diggs last year, there was a play in the – I can't remember which game it was, because, you know, you see so many over the years. But it might have been the Vikings game at home. I can't remember it. But Quandre Diggs' closing speed, and it was against the Vikes, yeah. It ended up just very Earl Thomas-esque. So I think at that moment they probably thought, okay, we kind of got this guy here that could, you know, knock a Rob Gronkowski out of a game type of guy. But we still need that guy that can be a little bit of a Swiss Army knife, play up on the line, rush the passer. We need another Cam Chancellor. I think they look at Jamal Adams and think that's what they have here.
It's interesting because there haven't been that many players in the last 20 years, 8 of them, as a matter of fact, who've been traded for a pair of first-round draft picks, but now 4 of them in the last couple of seasons. And inside the NFC West division, the Rams just did the same thing for Jalen Ramsey. And I'm wondering if the Seahawks kind of looked in that and recognized, okay, well, that's kind of the going rate for a top-flight safety.
Maybe. I think they saw to get an impactful player that they hope to sign in a year and have him be a big part of that defense for years to come. Maybe that's how they look at it. But I think there's also while I know John Schneider covets draft picks, I would be willing to bet that he covets and really appreciates the latter half of a draft more than the first-round draft picks, because his history with number one draft picks is just not that great. So for him to maybe table those, move them on, and then get an impactful player that he probably knows he couldn't draft in the next 2 years in the first round, that to him had considerable value, and that's probably how he looks at it.
Mike Ferrari of KOMO Sports in Seattle with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, though currently he's sitting outside. Are you on a porch? Is that where you're just sitting?
I'm on my back patio, yeah. With the Cascade Mountains are in the distance.
Aww.
And it's so quiet out here. So,
oh, sounds amazing.
Yeah, they see the stars. I can see the further away you are from Seattle, the more stars you see. Big Dipper and all sorts of
yes.
fun
hey,
stuff.
That same yeah. Big Dipper is hanging over my house in New Jersey, though, you know.
How about that? Crazy. Looks like that gigantic ladle, doesn't it?
Isn't it's awesome. Yeah. So Mike is with us from Seattle, and here's what I want to ask. Because the Seahawks are not giving him that contract extension, that mm-hmm. fat deal that he was demanding with the Jets,
yeah.
that ultimately, I think, stoked the fire of him getting so nasty on social media and going after the guys in the Jets front office. That's not what the Seahawks are doing. So he's not that he's in the same exact position, but what uh-huh. we know what Pete Carroll's track record is with guys who hold out or pitch a fit.
Yeah. And that's kind of a stick of dynamite that hasn't been lit yet, but has serious potential to explode. It's not good. And who was that guy? That was the Cam Chancellor, right?
But even an Earl Thomas situation
yeah,
didn't go
Earl
well
Thomas
for Earl.
Was so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, for all he did to end with, you know, taking off on the field in Arizona and giving the team the bird, I just, that was not good. Maybe they know that they... I don't know, privy to talk to agents, and maybe they know that they can get something done as soon as he comes here and maybe realizes, hey, I really like it. I mean, Pete Carroll's a defensive backs coach. That's his – if there's any position on the field that he likes, mm-hmm. that he really pays more attention to, it's he's an old defensive back himself. He came up through the ranks as a coach in that regard. So, I mean, there's obviously something there that makes them feel that they can sign him to a long term. But you're right. It could be a total bummer, especially when you consider that they, you know, got rid of Bradley McDougal, who was a great kind of veteran presence. I'd always criticize the Seahawks for a little bit during the Legion of Boom because I think a lot of teams need to be like the Patriots. That
Mike.
Right? And I don't like the Patriots. And I'll admit, I'm a Jets fan. I grew up a Jets fan. So I'm a Jets fan. So this has got to be twisting your mind, I know, Amy. But I think there is no emotional attachment from the Belichick-led Patriot regime. I think when they look at a player and they realize that, you know, great crew coaches can sit there, rowing coaches can sit there and look at that eight-man boat and say, that guy is 1/100th of a second off and he's slowing me down. Switch him in the middle of practice, put him on, and he's going to make that difference. I think the Patriots look at those guys and say, okay, he's losing like a millimeter of a step. Maybe he's losing a quarter of a step. You know, I see that. Time to go. I don't think the Seahawks recognize that enough or felt that they could do that with guys in the Legion of Boom as they aged or other players. I think they've remained emotionally attached. The Patriots don't do that, and that's why they win year after year. I mean, you've seen it. They've had great guys on that offensive line that protect Tom Brady, but all of a sudden, week two of training camp, nope, you're going to Tampa Bay, see you later, two draft picks. You never hear the guy again, right?
I mean, it's happened so many times. Like Lawyer Malloy, who was the captain at the time when they traded him to Buffalo
mm-hmm.
on the defensive side of the ball. You're right. They don't get emotionally attached, but I feel like in the case of Pete Carroll.
Ironically, where did Lawyer Malloy end his career?
I don't remember.
With the Seahawks.
Oh, did he? Ironically. I still say, though, that while Pete Carroll is all kinds of rah-rah, he will do what needs to be done. If you go toe-to-toe with Pete Carroll and he you generally end up losing. I mean, if it comes right down to it, he still does make decisions that are best for the team, even though he loves his guys.
Sure. And I think that love is there. But I just think there are certain things that and they've moved more towards that now. But yes, if there's a coach that can bring a team together and motivate guys and get them on the same page, and who's just, I mean, he's the oldest coach in the league, but he's got to be the coolest. You know what I mean? Honestly, who are you going to, I don't know, maybe Bill Belichick would be an interesting dinner conversation guy. But Pete Carroll's amazing. I mean, he knows things and beyond football
right.
that he'll talk about and that he cares about and
yes.
that he's genuine about. But, yeah, it's a business. And so I think they're running things a little more and more like a business.
Mike Ferrari with us from Seattle. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You and I had this discussion about the Seahawks and how they were seemingly always trailing entering the fourth quarter.
Mm.
How do they fix that? In 2020, how do they fix that?
That's a stumper. aim, get a big lead, have fewer three and outs on the first and second and third drive of games that just drive people crazy, establish themselves early. You know, just keep throwing the ball to DK Metcalf. Classic. I mean, he had a rookie record for receiving yards in a playoff game, and it was great. I love Philadelphia. I love going to Philadelphia. It's one of my favorite cities. The passion those fans have. I never forget, there was this guy heckling him, calling him overweight at the combine. What has he done with his career? Right before the playoff game, he goes out and catches for 140 yards or something like that. So I think that's making a big difference. But they got to just get points on the board, and they can't always be in a situation because Russell Wilson, he's getting older. He can't always rescue them.
Older.
Yeah. You know, as relatively speaking in football terms, of course. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do exactly, but I think they know they need to be aggressive. The one thing that is kind of weird, you know, they might lose their first game or second game. I've heard Pete talk and be like, yeah, it just takes us a while to get going. I'm always just like, why does it take you a while to get going? I mean, you had like OTAs. I mean, and if he uses that excuse this year, I'm just going to give him a pass because, yeah, like this whole year is a jumbled mess.
It definitely
you know, so,
is.
Yeah, it could take a while to get going in no preseason games.
Well, so but I think that'll be the case for everybody, though. I mean, exactly. I've told people, this is the new house rule on my show, Mike. No matter how sloppy, ugly, disastrous, no matter if the scores are 6-4, we are not complaining about football in the first 6 weeks. If we get football, we are not freaking complaining. Period.
Yeah, I think that's all you're going to get. I don't think the college game is going to be there until the spring. I think a lot of people bank on a vaccine, maybe, but I think that the NFL can pull it off. I mean, but the NFL, and this is I might be shocking you here at this late hour. Amy, I cover a lot of NFL games. When I get to watch a game on TV, it's a treat. The NFL is a superior product on television than it is live in person.
True, very true.
And I don't think the NFL wants people to get too accustomed to watching it in their man caves, to watching it in their family living rooms, or their she caves, I should say. You got it across the board. You know, it doesn't matter. But I don't think the NFL wants people to do that. They have so much of a focus on the 68,000-70,000 at a game. They need to keep that, and I think they're worried about that in this time.
Okay, so tell me this, because as you mentioned, you cover games in person. What is your plan right now for training camp, for games? Do you have any idea what kind of access you'll be allowed?
No, you know, that's interesting, because I was texting with one of the guys that works in the Seahawks office last week that handles a lot of the media stuff, and I was like, what's, you know, this is right after they got the agreement. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know, what's, I'm like, if it's TBD, just you know, let me know if it's to be determined. And he goes, yeah, we don't know. And it seems like, there's different plans for different teams. And I think a lot of teams can get going on Tuesday. But the way I've heard it here is they're not going to have anybody in the building here until August 1st. And then they're just going to have 2 weeks of ramping up. And their first practice and shells should be about August 12th. And then 17th, 5 days usually after shells, and when they might go full pads. You know, but that's about 3 weeks of ramp up time. I mean, when you consider these guys haven't been in the facility since what, last January,
right?
There is, you know, if you want to talk about social distancing and space and kind of like what it's gone like for the Mariners, you know, they've allowed us into, you know, cause they had like a summer training, obviously like a lot of teams at the stadium. The Seahawks have a gigantic berm, big hill right next to training camp, right next to their practice field. And that's where usually fans are just, you know, shoulder to shoulder for training camp, like 20 practices or so a year. So obviously they can't do that. You could easily space off video cameras and press people and almost like square off an area so you don't move. And there's an entryway to that area from a second parking lot down the road from the VMAC facility because, you know, we've seen, I'm sure you've seen, you kind of have those tiers. So I know I will never get the see, you know, I remember used to love interviewing Clowney right after Game Center, right next to him. Great guy, by the way. And you sit there, and I'm not going to stand next to any players this season. I'm not going to any locker rooms. I mean, everything's going to be on Zoom calls, right? Kind of chime in and maybe go to a game. But that's where the Mariners are. And they want as few people there as possible from a media standpoint because it's just, you know, increases any chances of anything happening. So everything we do is like a Zoom call for the Mariners. I send a photographer down to get some video. but then you got to go through different checks, and you can't be with your photographer.
Oh.
Like say at T-Mobile Park, the photographer's at a separate spot where they're kind of in a certain area, and then okay, we take your own cars, and I'll meet you down there.
Wow.
And so I imagine it's going to be quite the production for the NFL. So I don't know. We'll see. This is crazy. Yeah, you just think that I don't think I ever took it for granted covering sports, and you know what a cool thing it was to go to cities like Philadelphia, New York, and you know kind of get on a plane and follow a team and you know report in enemy territory. I always think I appreciate it every time I had a chance to do that. I'll miss it for sure, but it's going to be just awfully weird for everybody. I mean, right. Nothing is normal, right? So
I don't even know what that is anymore.
Yeah,
to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, go day by. I don't know about you, but I've never been more of a day by day, minute by minute existence, because you just don't know. Things are constantly changing.
The only way to survive. Mike, before I let you go, I have to ask what you think of the new NHL team name, the Seattle Kraken.
It was quite the odyssey, because I openly campaigned against the name.
Really?
I'm still not crazy about the name. I just thought it was kind of gimmicky. I really preferred like the Sockeyes. I kind of like the old throwback, the Seattle Metropolitans won the first Stanley Cup by a U.S. team in 1917. And so that they had a really cool logo. So they kind of, I kept seeing, I'm like, oh no, it's going to be that. And they kind of released this nautical trailer. I don't know if you saw it on the night before, Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this fishing boat, and they pull up this thing, and I'm like, oh, all right, so it's going to be nautical in nature. And I love the ocean and anything to do with water. So I was like, okay, well, whatever it is, this will be cool, knowing that it could still be the Kraken. And I watched they did the whole deal with an awesome video at 9 a.m. I would encourage anybody to go watch it. It's the Kraken, NHL Seattle, whatever. It's on there. And, man, what a job they did introducing it. And the color and the logo.
The color is cool.
Yeah, makes you like the team enough that you're like, okay, I can deal with the name. Like, I liked it so much I bought a sweatshirt. You know what I mean? I'm just like, okay, whatever. But they actually have a home, their second home jersey, where they took the Space Needle and they worked it into an anchor. And just the way it looks. Like, and you got to know, going forward with this franchise, the guy running the show is Todd Leiwicki. And I don't know if you're familiar with that name, but Todd Leiwicki is the guy that started everything with the Seahawks with the 12s here. He really basically ushered them into CenturyLink Field and created that home dominance in such a way that the franchise and organization connected with fans. You know, it made them feel like they were such a big part. He left. He loves hockey. Went to work for the Lightning, then ended up working with the NFL. And I honestly believe Todd's such a smart, dynamic individual that if Goodell ever left and he stayed long enough, maybe he would have been the next commissioner of the NFL. I don't know that by any chance, but he's just that good at what he does. Everything is a success. So he came back now because he loved his time in Seattle, and he's bringing the NHL team. And everything here has his fingerprints on it. It's just class, and the way he connects with fans. I mean, they sold out season tickets in less than an hour. 32,000 seats. I mean, they didn't know what it was going to be like. And there's so many like international people here that enjoy hockey. People in were so close to Canada, but he's done such a phenomenal job that it's really cool, and to see where they're going to go. And I love it because Ron Francis is a former Hartford Whaler. That's where I grew up in Connecticut.
Awesome.
That was my only team, right? And he's running the show here. I would not be surprised if Ray Ferraro ends up being the first head coach of the team, just because of their connection and what he's done with USA Hockey. He could end up with, you know, some team in Calgary, for God's sakes, Ray Ferraro being the coach and be happy. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe the way it works out that Ray Ferraro is the first head coach. But that's, again, no information. That's just my gut.
That's your gut. Seattle gut. Kraken.
Kraken.
I feel like they got named after the Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, I don't know. Which is
right.
Okay, because I love those movies, but...
But the funny thing is, you know, because Jerry Bruckheimer is part owner, and he did Clash of the Titans when Liam Neeson is in that, and I hated the old Clash of the Titans, and I didn't like the new one. Oh, you know?
Makes sense now. It all makes sense now. The so 6 degrees of separation. Yes, for sure.
But they don't know how to say cracking correctly in Pirates of the Caribbean. Is it a cracking or a cracking?
You're going to have to practice, Mike, for sure. You have to do that on the TV as well as on the radio. All right, so you can find Mike on Twitter at Mike, KOMO Sports, though currently he was enjoying a night off until this.
I might camp under the stars now that I'm out here.
Sweet.
Hopefully I have my key and get back in the house.
The Big Dipper. Yeah, don't be waking up the neighborhood. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again when football is back on the field.
Always nice, Amy, to catch up with you. I hope you're doing well, and thanks to you and your team for inviting me on tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.